Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Unconventional Gal Forging Your Own Path with me, your host, Cherry Dollface. Man, it feels like a long time since I've recorded a podcast. So much has happened. This has been a wild week. This was just one of those days. I'm sure you guys have had lots of them. I have had an abundance of them. This morning, I got out of the shower after I had put my contacts on, and I was like, why does the world look so weird? And I realized that I had put my weak contact in my weak eye and my strong contact in my strong eye. I can't even explain to you how it felt, but it felt all kinds of wrong, and that just seems par for the course for my life right now. But I'm excited to be back for my fifth podcast. So hello. Hello to all of my new listeners. I keep saying viewers. Stupid YouTube has me all mixed up. Thank you to everybody that has left a review in the last couple of weeks and entered my giveaway contest. It was super fun. It's so cool to read all of your guys' reviews and just how you guys are connecting with my topics and with my life. I really do kind of put it all out there for you guys in these podcasts. So it's a very vulnerable feeling, and it's nice when I feel like you guys are connecting with me. It kind of makes that vulnerability all worth it. So let's get right into it. So today, our first segment is about getting motivation. So it was interesting because when I think about getting motivation, I literally think of like getting motivated to get out of bed or like to get out of my pajamas. But when I was asking for stories, a lot of you guys were talking about like major life motivation. So I just thought that was like kind of an interesting lost in translation kind of thing. But we're going to talk about both today. I think the one major thing right now is just general life motivation during COVID. And I think that's what a lot of us struggle with because life is very different for a lot of us, especially with so many jobs being from home. And I know for a lot of people, it's great. It's a blessing in disguise. You really realize how much of your life you've spent in an office and how much you like being home more, which yay for that. That's great. I've actually pretty much worked from home or traveled for almost a decade. So working in an office is actually kind of a weird novelty to me. Even just having my studio space for my esthetician business is kind of weird and fun and wacky and wild. How many W words can I use to describe my business? But it's definitely a novelty for me, which I think working from home is a novelty for some people. But along with that novelty, I think is trying to find motivation because it's very easy to just want to stay in bed all day when you are just commuting from bed to couch or from bed to desk. So I think one of the big things that is important in keeping yourself motivated is the importance of self-care. And there's so many things that go along with self-care. Actually, my beautiful boyfriend, James, he's so cute. He's been really getting into taking care of his skin and taking care of his teeth and taking care of his health. And it really stuck with him something that he had seen actually on Queer Eye, where one of the guys had said to one of the men they were making over was just to set aside 5 minutes for yourself every day. And self-care is really important. And especially for men, I think it's very undervalued. Men just think that they have to be men and they can't take pride in how they feel or how they look. So same goes for women, maybe even double goes for women. And self-care can mean a lot of things. It can mean taking care of your mental health. It can mean taking care of your body. It can mean taking care of your physical appearance, your skin, your hair, your nails, just anything that makes you feel good, I think is considered self-care. So whether that's getting a massage, getting a facial, painting your own nails, putting on some moisturizer at the end of the night, it can be super small. It can be as large as like going to a weekend retreat, but just taking at least a few minutes a day just to take care of yourself, just to check in with yourself, make sure you feel like you're getting what you need as a human. And obviously, you know, we don't always get all of our needs met, clearly. I mean, welcome to the world as an adult. But I think it is important to try your best to take care of those self-care needs because self-care equals positive mental health and positive mental health equals motivation. So I think going along with that is getting out of your PJs in the morning. And this one was a hard one for me when I started working for myself because most of the time I was traveling. So when I wasn't traveling, I was working from home. It wasn't like I was 9 to 5 working from home every week. It was like being home was still a novelty. So on those days that I was at home, you know, maybe the couple weeks in between tours, it would be PJs all day. And there's something sort of like demoralizing about wearing pajamas all day. Even if you get up, like I would get up, put a bra on under my pajamas and brush my teeth and eat breakfast and do everything, but I would just be in my pajamas. So what I actually did was I went to Target and I just bought like comfortable clothes. So I basically changed from like sleep pajamas to working pajamas. So it's not like you have to, you know, wear like hose and heels to, by hose, I mean nylons, not actual, like I got hose in different area codes that might be lost in translation as well. So you don't need to wear nylons and heels to your living room, but just put on something that is a change of clothes. Get up, take a shower, get out of the clothes that you slept in. Plus, we sweat a lot when we sleep, and it's not good to have all that sweat trapped against your skin all day in the same clothes. I think also setting a regular exercise routine is really important. Even if you're not a person that normally exercises, but especially if you are a person that does normally exercise, especially, you know, like in California, our gyms are closed. So I usually go to the gym 3 or 4 times a week, and I have a really hard time motivating myself to work out at home. But it's been really important to me to keep that normal schedule or keep to my normal schedule so that life feels normal and then I keep that motivation going. And I definitely notice when I have weeks where I slack on working out, that my motivation goes down. And a lot of that also goes with mental health, because a lot of the reason I work out is for my mental health. It helps with my depression. It gets those endorphins in there. So I just think even if you're just like stretching every day, even if you wake up every morning and stretch 5 minutes and then stretch 5 minutes before bed, I mean, obviously that's not like adequate exercise. I wouldn't really consider that exercise, but just keeping yourself limber, keeping the blood moving to your muscles and keeping the blood moving to your brain is going to help you stay motivated. Also with that is a normal sleep schedule. I know a lot of us, especially when quarantine first started, it was like, woohoo, there's no rules. I'm going to like stay up till 4 a.m. and then sleep till noon. And I'm going to feel like a teenager again. One, that just makes me feel like hot garbage. I can't have a weird sleep schedule like that. And for some reason, I don't know if it's because I'm an old lady now. I did see somebody left a comment that 38 is not old, but it might not be old, but let me tell you, it feels old. And my stupid old lady body clock wants me to wake up at 7:30 or 8 o'clock every morning, whether I want to or not. And it doesn't matter how late I've stayed up. So I could stay up till like 5 a.m. drinking whiskey with my friends. And at 8 o'clock, my stupid brain is like, hey you, it's time to wake up. Let's go do some stuff. And it really sucks. So because of that, I like to try to keep a normal sleep schedule. So I usually try to get into bed between like 11 and midnight. We read a little bit before bed, and then sometimes I'll listen to a little bit of ASMR just to relax myself, go to sleep. And then I set my alarm usually for 8 a.m. If I go to bed later, maybe I'll set it for 9. But that seems to be like a good schedule for me. I am an 8 to 9 hour sleeper. That is how my body functions. Some people can function on less. Some people are like ready to go at 6 hours. If you are a functions on 4 hours of sleep kind of person, you are an alien. You came from the same planet as the perfection of Beyonce. Like, I don't know how you live. Good for you, but I need my sleep. So figure out what sleep is ideal for you. Don't listen to all the articles that say you have to have 8 hours of sleep a night. If you need more, if you need 10, Jimmy is a sleeper. That boy sleeps like he is 15 years old. And it's just the way his body works. And if he sleeps less than that, he has to take naps and he gets really sleepy. So he just knows his body functions that way. I'm like an 8 or 9 hour. So figure out what is normal for you and stick to a schedule. When it comes to general motivation, just general life motivation, whether it's like being motivated to do large things like change your career, or if it's being motivated to go grocery shopping every Sunday, just like that general stuff, I think it's really important to set goals and review your progress. You know, your goal might literally just be, I need to go grocery shopping on Sunday, and you're having a really hard time doing that. So get a little whiteboard and write grocery shopping at 2 p.m. and all the things that you need to buy at the grocery store, or put it in your notes in your phone. But just like keeping yourself accountable by making goals and actually writing goals down. Don't just keep your goals in your brain. It doesn't work like that. You need to actually write them down, whether it's in a journal, on your phone, on a whiteboard, on a chalkboard, if anybody even has chalkboards anymore. If you have chalkboard walls, I don't even know, write it on your hand, write it on the inside of your thigh, but put your goals somewhere where you can review them and then check back in on yourself every week, every month, every year, and see where you are in those goals. And that just is a way for you to hold yourself accountable so that you actually do work towards those goals. And you might not meet them. That's fine. We're humans. We don't always get to the finish line how or when we thought we would, but just having that goal set is a way to sort of push yourself closer to that finish line. And also too, don't be so hard on yourself if you don't meet those goals, and make sure to mark even your smallest progress. So even if you didn't get to the grocery store, but man, you walked 100 yards in the right direction before you turned back, you might be agoraphobic. I don't know. It might be such something that would seem like a very small goal to somebody, but to you, it is huge. Just count those small successes, because the harder you are on yourself, the more you're going to give up and you're going to defeat yourself before you even start. The other thing that I like to do personally to help motivate myself and to help with goal setting and kind of reset my brain is just going for walks. And I know I've talked about that on this podcast before, but I try to go for walks almost every night. It's been really hard because of the fires. The air quality has been really bad. But I try to get out there for like at least an hour. I just put on a podcast. Hey, here you go. Listen to mine and my running shoes and get a bottle of water. And I just walk and walk and walk and walk. I usually try to walk 2 miles away from my house. And then that makes it so I have to walk 2 miles back towards my house. So I try to do 2 to 4 miles. 2 to 4 miles is like the goal. But I mean, you know how that works. Whole Foods is almost exactly 4 miles away and they have really good strawberry cupcakes. So that is a really good motivator. And they come in these bulky plastic packages. So they're not good to put in my backpack. So I have to eat them as I walk. And that makes even better motivation. So any motivation you can use to get yourself out there. And it's not even obviously, yes, walking is good for your body and it's exercise, but it's also really good for your brain and it gets your blood moving, especially if you spend a lot of time inside the house sitting and you're really sedentary. Sometimes that makes your brain kind of block a little bit. It blocks you from being motivated and creative. It's also good too when you are working and you just need a reset. So speaking of that, let's talk about motivating yourself when you're self-employed. So I kind of talked a little bit before about getting into a sleep routine, but getting into just a daily routine and sticking to it is really important when you work for yourself or you work from home. Like if you're still working for whatever, corporate America, but you're doing it from home right now. I know a lot of corporate America or 9-to-5ers don't really know how to set a routine for themselves at home. And because I've only known that, it seems so normal to me, but it really is just as small as setting a normal daily routine. So wake up at 9, breakfast at 9:30, shower at 10, check emails for an hour, you know, do this amount of work, then lunch is at noon. Definitely set your lunches, set your breaks. If you need to go for a walk every day, set 15 minutes that you go walk around the block. Or if you smoke, which you shouldn't, and I'm wagging my finger at you, just like I'm going to wave maniacally at you when this podcast is over. But if you do need those breaks, schedule them. Don't just take breaks when you want to, because breaks turn into TV shows, turn into snacks, turn into reading a book, turn into all the things that are going to distract you from your work. So definitely set a routine and stick to it. And also set normal hours that you would be normally working if you were at your job. So obviously if you work for yourself, it depends on your industry. A normal hour could be like 2 to 10 p.m. But if you normally work 9 to 5, keep your schedule 9 to 5 because it'll keep your body clock set right. It'll keep your brain kind of functioning in the right way. Also, it's important to make a dedicated workspace. For me, it's hard because I don't just do one job and I don't have a computer job. So because, you know, I sell stuff on Etsy and I ship a lot of my books and I make videos and tutorials and podcasts, like I don't really have one place where I can do all of that stuff. So my work is scattered. And if you have the same type of job, then good luck to you. But if you do have a more office type job, get yourself a little desk, get on Facebook Marketplace and get yourself some office furniture. You can find it very inexpensively. If it's really ugly, sand it down and paint it. It'll be a fun DIY project for your Saturday when you have nothing else to do, and it'll keep you out of the public and keep you from getting COVID. I'm here to help. Set yourself up a little desk and make sure you have, you know, your files and your computer and your pens and your staplers. I love office supplies. I think it stems from loving school when I was little. I was the kid in August that would be like, come on, summer be over. I can't wait for school supplies. And I would buy them and I would smell all my crayons and I would put my name on everything. And my bag would be packed for first day of school, like 2 weeks before it started. I love office supplies. Get yourself a little work space and it'll definitely help with your motivation. And also make sure to, again, depending on your job, if you have a job where you need to be by your phone, that's one thing. But also too, if you have Apple products, you can set any phone alerts that are important to come up on your computer. So I would say turn off your phone so that you're turning off Instagram, Facebook, MySpace. How old am I? I don't even know where that came from. I don't even know what I meant to say. Twitter, TikTok. I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm having, is this what they call a senior moment? I don't even know. If you do have MySpace, turn it off. Maybe delete it. I think that time has passed. I don't even think they have an app. There weren't even apps when we had MySpace. Anyways, just try your best to turn off your phone because your phone can be a great distraction. And let me tell you from somebody that most of my job is on my phone, I cannot escape all of those apps and social media and music and email and news. And especially right now with the election, and there's just so many distractions. So if you do work a job where you can turn that all off, if it's, you know, you sell stuff on eBay, just take pictures of stuff, I either turn music, podcasts, or TV on just to have in the background because I need noise and I try to stay off of my phone. Let's take some stories related to motivation. These are more general life motivation, but I think they're all really great, inspiring stories. So I'm going to share them anyway. So Jenna White says, as a single mom, she must be English or Australian. My son is 8 now and I'm 36. I lived hand to mouth for the first 5 years of having my son. I battled with postnatal depression and a sense of loss as to how to support myself and my son long term. When he was due to start school, I decided it was my time to go back to school too. I studied at college for 2 years, getting the grades I hadn't got at school, and was then accepted into university to study psychology. I'm now in my second year of my undergraduate degree, and it's tough, but my motivation is to show my son how to work hard to get where you need to be in life is what carries me through. I want him to be inspired by me and know that it's okay for life to be challenging as long as we do the best we can and treat people with kindness and fairness and love along the way. When I get my degree, I want to be a music therapist, and I'm determined to make it happen. One really good motivator is being determined for that final goal. And children are a really good motivator, not only to provide for them, but also to provide a positive role model for them. So I love that you used your son as your inspiration and that you went to school when he did. So congrats. I hope you get your degree soon. And I bet you are going to be an amazing music therapist. Bernice, love, good Lord. I don't know if I copied this right. Maybe this is your middle name. Bernice loves to laugh. Oh, loves to laugh. Okay. I thought that was a middle name. Lopez. After being diagnosed with breast cancer in 2001, then having two babies along with a tumultuous marriage, cancer again in 2008, divorced in 2010, diagnosed with congestive heart failure in 2011, to getting an LVAD for my heart in 2015, and finally having a heart transplant in August of 2019. Hold on. I need to take a breath. That was a lot. Okay. I am finally able to hike and see all that I can see. I've always loved the outdoors, and because of my poor health, my hiking was limited to easy trails and fairly level surfaces. In December 2019, I went to Zion for the first time and planned to hike Angel's Landing on my one-year transplant anniversary. COVID set me back, but I'm training again and I'm hoping to be ready by November. I have been given a second chance at life and I'm not going to waste it. Bernice, I love you. I wish I could just give you a giant hug. You're making me a little bit emotional with this story because I feel it so deeply. Man, this is the first time I've kind of gotten choked up on my podcast. Welcome to my life of being a sappy jerk. But I do think that having bad health is a real good motivator to reach those goals, especially when you've spent a lot of time sick or poorly, and then you get better and you just don't want to waste any second. It's a lot of the reason why I moved to LA after my surgery. I think it's also great to use stories like this as motivation if you are healthy, to know you are healthy and there are people out there that are not healthy, that don't have the opportunities that you have to experience the things that you do. Just use that as daily motivation. Joanna Spots says, I decided I would train to run a marathon. I'd been running for a while and thought would be the next logical step. It was hard to train in the cold Vermont winter, but I kept training. I didn't finish the marathon and I almost gave up running. Then when I told my marathon story to a coworker, she said she hopes I would reconsider because she saw my motor while I was training and decided that she saw my motor. I don't think you meant to say motor, but we're going to go with it. And decided that she wanted to be a runner too. I decided to train again for the marathon and kept trying until I finished it. My friend has become my running soul sister. The marathon was canceled this year, but I decided it just meant more time to train, even if that means another winter of training. So I love that you gals are taking this COVID nightmare and turning it into positivity and just keeping going and keeping pushing until you can meet your goals. That's great. And that's just an example of, like, she just wanted to run a marathon. She just wanted to. So she is going to, and she's pushing herself. It's also really great when you have a partner in your goals, and that helps for accountability, whether it's a romantic partner, a sister, a friend, if it's a workout goal, somebody that works out with you that makes sure that you, you know, do the things that you're supposed to be doing instead of sitting on the couch watching Love Island and eating pretzels and beer cheese. Not that I would ever do that. I just heard that people do that sometimes. But it is good to have that accountability. So yay for all three of you babes with your awesome, inspiring stories of motivation. I guess that brings us into our second segment. This one was voted on by my patrons, as always. I always have a topic that's voted on by patrons every week. If you have not joined my patron page, it is titled the same as this podcast, The Unconventional Gal. There's all kinds of fun things happening over there. It's all exclusive content just for my content just for my patrons. So if you want to join, please do. The link is in the notes of this podcast. But the topic they voted on this week is modeling career versus hobby. So most of you know, I think I talked about my history a little bit in my first podcast, but I started this whole weird journey as Cherry Dollface as a pinup model. And I started doing it in 2004, just started randomly at a car show, then got asked to model for some clothing companies, got on a bunch of magazines, started traveling the world, blah, blah, blah. One thing I want to disclaim is that pinup modeling has never been and will never be a career for me or anybody else. Pinup modeling as a career does not exist. So let's just put that out there right now. I know this segment of this podcast is probably going to dash a lot of hopes and dreams, but I hope it creates new hopes and dreams for those same people. Modeling is a career, modeling in general. Glamour modeling, runway modeling, catalog modeling, fit modeling, there's a lot of that. But pinup, just as it is, as a subculture, is not a career. There's no money in it, and there never really was. Honestly, when I was at the heyday of pinup modeling, I just modeled a lot for free clothes. And the magazines that I was on, the only magazines that paid were tattoo magazines. That wasn't because I was a pinup, it was because I had tattoos. And those days, my friends, are long gone, because so many people now have tattoos and so many pinup models exist in this world that everybody wants to do it for free, which is totally fine. But because of that, the opportunities for payment are few and far between. So it's not to say that you won't make any money. You can still make money doing photo shoots for brands and magazines and whatever it is. It's just to say that it is not a career. You're not going to make enough money to like pay your bills. You're going to make enough money to go take your friends out for some pizza and get some really delicious milkshakes and maybe buy a pair of shoes. And that's awesome and super fun. Pinup modeling is great in many ways. Besides a career, it is a great way to build a brand or a following. That is kind of what I did. I built Cherry Dollface as a brand through pinup modeling. So I got a lot of my followers through the pretty pictures I was taking. I wasn't making money off the pictures, but then I wrote some books and I sold some clothes and made some shirts and did some tours, and it all kind of happened that way. So if you want to use it to build your brand or to build a following, it is a great stepping stone for that. It's also a great way to get free stuff. Other disclaimer, please do not get yourself, 500 followers and a big ego and then email every company in the world telling them that they need to send you free stuff for you to photograph. Please do not get a large head or a sense of self-entitlement. That is something I see hugely in the pinup world. Be humble, be sweet. If you want something, ask for it politely and ask for it in a way that makes sense. A company that has 400,000 followers is not going to want to give somebody that has 1,000 followers stuff for free, because there's no value in that. I have on Instagram 200,000 followers. So if I hit up a company that also has 200,000 followers, it makes sense to cross-pollinate our followers. Keep your head about yourself and never, ever expect it. It's okay to ask, but just ask nicely, just like anything else in the world. It's also a great way to feel inclusive in a subculture. Like I said in my podcast last week, subculture is great, and getting into the pinup modeling world is a great way to find other girls or other people that are into what you are into. So it is a good way to feel inclusive. If you are interested in modeling, but you might not be like, a standard industry type model and you want to model still, it's a great way to feel like you can model without having those, height restrictions, weight restrictions, age restrictions, even tattoos or race or, modeling agencies are assholes and they don't care about inclusivity. So the pinup world is a great place to feel like you're included. Most of all, it is a great way to meet new friends. And I can't tell you how many friends I've met all over the world that are lifelong friends. My girl Kezi, she runs Lady K Loves in Bristol in England. She sent me a video message today, just like a super sweet little personal message. And I never would have met her if it wasn't for pinup modeling. And I have met friends like that all over the world. So I think that is the most valuable thing about being a pinup model, or just even being in the pinup world in general, whether you model or not. Also, pinup contests are a great way to meet friends, especially friends locally that are kind of into the same things. If you enter a pinup contest, do not be an asshole. Don't be competitive. Don't be catty. If somebody's dress rips, help them pin it back together. If somebody's hair is better than you, tell them it looks fabulous. Just don't be a shithead. Pinup contests are such a great potential way to meet friends, and I see so many girls ruining it just by being shitty bitches. Man, I probably cussed more in the last minute of this podcast than in my whole 5 episodes, but I get really worked up about girls being mean to each other. Pinup modeling aside, let's talk about career modeling. So, like I said, I've only really ever pinup modeled, and I don't even consider myself or call myself a pinup model. I do have girls all the time asking me how to be a model, and I know a little bit because of living in the city I do, and I have friends that are actual legit models. So I'm going to tell you a little bit that I know, but please know that I am not by any means and have never been a professional model. But your first step is going to be to build a portfolio. You're going to want to try to get signed with an agency if you really want to be a legit model, and an agency won't sign you until you have a portfolio to take with you to go sees to companies that will potentially book you. Some agencies will actually help you build your portfolio, but it's going to cost money. And usually what happens is they'll set up a test shoot with an industry photographer that you pay for. And then the test shoot gives you photos to put in your book. Or if you get published, they give you what's called tear sheets, which are basically just the sheets from the actual magazine you were published in. So you could be like, hey, look, I was in Vogue in 2018. Those tear sheets need to come from legitimate sources. And this is another thing I want to cover. I see all the time so much on social media. I'm doing my air quotes again. Internationally published pinup model. First of all, you are only considered a published model in general if you are in a magazine that has a barcode. So a MagCloud magazine doesn't count. You can't use those as tear sheets. And really, even like local travel, like those kind of small magazines aren't going to count to an agency. You need to be in a legitimate published source, like a Cosmopolitan, a Glamour magazine, a Vogue, a Marie Claire, those kind of magazines. The smaller local magazines are a good way to kind of get your start and to get yourself on the radar a little bit. But let me tell you, MagCloud magazines, pinup magazines, none of that counts in the, I don't want to say real because it's all real, but in the mainstream modeling world. Honestly, if agencies see the internationally published tag on your page and you're really trying to model, it's a big turnoff. So I would dissuade anybody from actually posting that wants to be a mainstream model. Get that out of the way. Answer casting calls. If you see casting calls in your area for models, answer them. Obviously, you know, you have to be most of the time a certain height, which is over 5'7", certain weight, which is way too skinny. I know modeling agencies and companies are starting to open their minds to different sizes, but if you want to be a model, you just have to know that you might be denied or rejected based on things that just really aren't fair. I would never, ever wish being a model on anybody. It is so difficult, not only just the job. Modeling is hard, but also the rejection that you face and the scrutiny your body faces is also really difficult. Just know that that is part of the job, but if you want to do it, answer all the casting calls you can, get yourself in front of anybody you can, be really careful, don't answer casting calls on Craigslist, try to find legitimate casting calls through legitimate casting companies. If you get weird emails that are like, hey, we want you to model, look them up, look at their website, look and see if it is a secure website, look and see if they have reviews, like just do your research, be safe. And then once your book is built and you have enough in your book, go set up a meeting with an agency. Most major cities have agencies, even some smaller cities have agencies. I cannot help you on where to look for agencies. I really don't know, but Google is a great tool. And some cities, even especially the big ones like LA, I know, have agencies that special in alt models, which means like different sizes, different races, different ages, tattoos, alternative looks, like that kind of thing. There used to be one in LA called Lemon Lime Agency that specialized in like tattooed alternative people. I don't even know if they exist anymore. That was like 10 years ago. But I think that's all of my advice on being an actual model. I have better advice on being a pinup model because that is more of my world. If you do want to be a professional model, just know it takes a lot of time, a lot of work, some money to invest, and it doesn't happen overnight for most people. Well, it's not like the, you know, discovered in a mall and then you're a supermodel the next day. Okay, so let's take some questions. First question is from Kathy Prado Elfline. By the way, everybody that has asked a question or contributed a story, you are all credited in my contributors in my podcast notes. So just so you know, you are all in there. And if you do want to contribute or ask questions for future podcasts, please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. I am the Cherry Dollface on everything. That's where I take submissions for these things. Anyways, Kathy asks, how do you look confident when your body isn't in the shape you'd like it to be? So a lot of the questions that I got when I asked about the pinup modeling were less related to the career aspect and more related to the pinup aspect. So I just kind of took my four favorite. So when my body isn't in the shape I'd like it to be, how do I look confident? I am a true believer in faking it until you make it. I think if you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, I am fucking fabulous every day of your life, even if you don't believe it, at some point you're gonna believe it. It's like they say when you're sad or down, just smile at yourself in the mirror and it tricks your brain into thinking you're happy. It's true, let me tell you, because I am a super weirdo, and when I put my blush on, I smile, but I only smile with one side of my face at a time, so I just look like a maniacal weird joker, and it makes me happy every time. For some reason, I just get happy on my own weirdness, my own brand of weird, I guess. But that same goes for confidence. Everybody always asks me how I'm so confident. And one thing, let me tell you, I don't think any human is 100% confident. I think a lot of us are faking it, which I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because fake it till you make it. I definitely have days where I feel scared and insecure and unsure in myself and nervous, and I feel all those things, but I just push forward and I tried my best to appear confident, and it kind of tricks my body into feeling confident. And that goes just for life, but especially when it comes to your body. But one thing I do have to say, especially if you've had body changes and so you're trying to get used to, I've gained some weight just from being happy after a divorce. I lost a lot of weight during my divorce, and then I gained a lot plus more from being happy, and then COVID and life. And so I'm trying to adjust to my new normal, and I definitely have a little bit of a hard time because certain clothes don't fit me the same and certain things don't feel the same, but I try my best just to kind of look in the mirror and figure out what feels the best, the way I move, what I wear, the poses that I make. So your friend is going to be the mirror, and look in the mirror and just try to figure out how you feel best, and that is how you're going to look best, and that's going to give you confidence. AKM2475 asks, do you only work with professional photographers? Abso-freaking-lutely not. I mean, I can count the amount of actual industry professional photographers I've worked with in my life, maybe on one hand. I've worked with a few like awesome fashion photographers, but most of the photographers I've worked with are either like mid-level professional, as in like, you know, they have their own pinup studios or something like that. I guess it depends on what you consider a professional as well, because I think a professional, I think of like Mario Testino. You know, I'm thinking of like fashion photographers. But yeah, I mean, photographers that make their living off of shooting would also be considered professional photographers. But I've also just shot with like, hey, this chick has a camera and her pictures are like kind of cool and we might make something cool. And sometimes the pictures turn out rad and sometimes the pictures turn out freaking awful. Let me tell you right now, I'm going to give you a little homework and it's going to make your day and embarrass me. Google Cherry Dollface and just scroll down a little bit. You'll find this picture I did. I don't even remember what it was for. I think it was like a fashion designer in Portland when I was like 15 years ago. I answered a random model call and they said they'd have professional hair and makeup and whatever. The outfit is cute. It's like a black and white corset and a little mini skirt. The hair and makeup is dreadful. It was just, you know, a bunch of people doing stuff for free. None of us knew what we were doing. It's really bad. My lips are like clown overlined. My hair is a mess. It's a lot. So if you find this picture, just have a good laugh with me. If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at? But you take that risk. And especially as a pinup model, it's important to take those risks because you might end up with awesome pictures. Some of my best pictures have come with just like random photographers that nobody knew, and we created absolute magic. And that's how you find your people. Glennis Johnson asks, since there are more companies making larger sizes, would you think a plus size pinup model would be accepted more in the pinup community? Let me give you another abso-freaking-lutely. No, not this time. That's the other thing that I do love about the pinup world, is that it is very size inclusive and it is becoming more size inclusive. I know I said in my last podcast, Hellbunny, I know for sure is expanding their plus range up to 6X, but I know a lot of brands are doing this, and that creates more modeling opportunities, especially if you guys live in the same cities as some of these companies. So if you do want to be a pinup model and you happen to be a plus size girl, there's also, you know, Torrid if you live in LA, and City Chic. There's a lot of brands that have full plus size models, only full ranges of plus size. And if you want to be in the mainstream side of modeling, there's even plus ranges, like there's Lane Bryant, there's Forever 21 Plus. There's so many mainstream avenues now that need plus size models. And I know that the definition of plus still has a lot of work to do. I think in some of those more industry brands, like a 10 to 12 is a plus size, which to me, that's just a large. But absolutely, you will be accepted in the pinup community as a larger size human being. And it doesn't even matter if you are wanting to be a professional model or not. If you just want to take pretty pictures and you got a big round booty, please do. I want to see that big round booty. I love big round booties. I love flat booties too. And droopy booties. I just love all booties. Willow Rice says, how do you think of unique, interesting poses? So this is another time when the mirror is going to be your best friend. I would highly advise against shooting in a studio where they have a mirror that you're looking in when you're shooting. It's really distracting to you and the photographer. And in most of the pictures, you're going to be looking at yourself in the mirror instead of looking at the camera or emoting. So don't do that, but practice at home before your shoot. Honestly, I've always been of the mind, the more I move, the more likely there is to be a good picture. You might move 100 different ways, but if you only need 2 good pictures, it doesn't matter what those 98 other ways looked like. If your arm was weird or it looked like your leg was cut off or whatever it is, practice by looking in a mirror though, because what you see straight in the mirror is what a camera is going to see looking straight at you. Or even practice just by setting your iPhone up on a tripod, your iPhone, not everybody has iPhones, your cell phone or a camera up on a tripod and just setting it on a timer and just pose and then see how it looks. Look at your face, look at your feet, look at your hands. Just like pay attention to that stuff. You know, obviously there's like the standard pinup poses, like the hands on the hips and the Betty Grable and, you know, the silly pinup faces and the one leg up, like the, what are they called? They're pink. Oh, pink flamingos. There's kind of the standard poses, but you can get unique. And if you want to do any kind of alt outside of pinup, the world is your oyster when it comes to posing. So just try to get out of your head. Photographers appreciate somebody that's going to move weirdly over somebody that's going to not move at all, because at least there's the chance to get something good in there. But if you don't move at all, there is no chance of getting anything good. Man, these always go so fast. So I just want to give my patrons a shout out this week. Amy Long, Molly Mayhem, Maggie, Sherilyn Contreras, Karen Kuzminski, Screaming Space, Mallory M, Vintage Dreamer, and Rachel McLeod. Thank you for being my patrons. Thank you to everybody that has listened and has been leaving me reviews. I really, really appreciate it if you keep leaving reviews. I will be doing more giveaway contests in the future, so the more you review, you'll be entered into them automatically. Just make sure when you leave me reviews, leave your Instagram or Facebook handles so that if I do have a contest, I can find you again. Thank you guys for all of your amazing feedback. I can't tell you how much I love each and every one of you guys, gals, babes, people, humans that follow me. It really does mean the world just to hear all of your feedback, whether it is in a review or just, you know, a nice Instagram message or comment. I do see everything, even though I don't always have time to respond. With that, I will see you guys in another 2 weeks. One thing too, I just wanted to ask before we go, would you guys want to see or hear podcasts more frequently? Maybe once a week if I did special episodes? Please let me know. All right, that's it. So until next time, don't be an asshole. And also until next time, here's me waving like a maniac. See you guys next time.